Welcome back to another edition of the Sound Singer Podcast. My guest today is Emily Lives. Her mission is to teach us how to like your lives. Emily is a brain training specialist for actors, artists, performers, creatives, and basically everyone. She holds a master's in mind-body medicine with a focus in self-directed mental practices to change the brain. Her work includes hypnosis, visualization, laughter yoga, journaling, reframing limiting beliefs, and more. With her viral videos on both TikTok and Instagram, she is empowering audiences everywhere with the tools needed to self-regulate, manage stress, and change our brains and our lives for the better. Emily, welcome to the podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat about all of this.
I am excited too, because on this podcast, we have covered a wide variety of topics that singers and professional voice users have dealt with. Things such as nutrition, fitness, performance anxiety, mindset, artistry. But, you know, brain training really, to me, it tops them all in that once that's implemented, everything else seems to fall into place. So I am thrilled that my audience gets to hear what you have to say and learn from you today. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I totally agree. I think it's absolutely the key ingredient to not only being successful as a performer, but also enjoying the process. So I'm very excited to chat about it.
So can you tell us how you got started in the world of brain training?
Yes. So bringing it way back many, many years ago, I studied vocal performance and acting in undergrad. I have a degree in theater and voice, and it was pretty intense. And towards the end of my senior year, I developed a really severe chronic illness. I developed chronic fatigue syndrome and POTS, which is considered incurable by most doctors. So after years and years of trying to figure out what was wrong and not being able to perform at all, not being able to do the thing that I loved after I graduated, eventually I discovered a brain training program that was specifically designed for these chronic mystery illnesses like what I had. And it seemed like total BS. It looked like this miracle cure kind of thing. All of the testimonials were just absurd. People were going from being bedbound to hiking mountains. And I was rolling my eyes at it, but I didn't really have any other options. So I gave it a try. The program required an hour a day of brain training, which we can get into what that looks like. It was a visualization-based practice, an hour a day for 6 months, which is pretty intense. And so I gave it a try. And within about 2 to 3 weeks, I was 50% better. I went from not being able to walk up a flight of stairs without being totally exhausted to like running through the streets of Philadelphia, feeling amazing. I was able to get back on stage in a couple of months, and I got my entire life back because of this work and because of the power of my own brain. And it totally blew my mind. And I realized that the world needed to hear about this. The world needed to know what was possible. And the only brain training resources that were out there at the time were really focused on for people who were sick. And these tools are so beneficial to anyone in the world, especially performers, especially singers. And the reason why I made that connection was because the brain training and self-hypnosis process that was involved in the program was based on the idea that the brain doesn't really know the difference between imagination and reality. And so as an actor by training, I immediately thought, what does that mean for actors? If we are playing grief and trauma and stress and fear and rage on stage, then our brains and bodies are processing that as though it's real. And can that lead to chronic illnesses and burnout in the same way? And so I started doing research and learning as much as I possibly could, reading everything I could get my hands on about how performing and acting affects the brain. And from what I discovered, it really, really has an impact. The roles we play have an impact on who we are and how we feel, has an impact on our mental health. And so I just felt like the world needs tools. The performance world in particular, we need tools to reduce our stress and be able to get in and out of character more safely. We need to be able to navigate the pressures of this career, because the chronic illness that I developed was a result of severe, severe chronic stress. And so I wanted to find ways to help performers specifically prevent themselves from getting sick. And be, not only that, but be able to thrive. And as I was doing this, I also got back on stage. I did several shows, and I realized that after using these tools for my health, I was a better performer than I'd ever been before. I was more creative. I was more confident. I had tools to navigate the insecurities and the stressors of a career as a performer. I felt better in auditions. And my whole world just opened up, and it became a much more joyful experience. And I actually felt like I just got to play on stage. I got to enjoy the creativity of it all, as opposed to focusing on the fear of it, because there's a lot of fear in that work. So I, from there, decided that I wanted to do this professionally. I became certified in positive psychology, positive neuroplasticity, clinical hypnosis. I ended up getting a master's degree in mind-body medicine. And at the same time, I also moved to New York City so that I could continue performing. I moved right before the COVID shutdown, so I never got to dive back into that, unfortunately. But, you know, this brain training work really, it just exploded online, and people seemed to really crave it. I started by sharing resources for performers and actors, but then I realized that everyone was benefiting from these tools. And so even though the things that I share online are more focused on things that everybody can use, there's always a little bit of intention behind offering resources for creative people and for people in these performing type industries, because it changes everything. So I know that's a long story. Now I am doing this work professionally. I work with people one-on-one in hypnosis and brain training, and I offer workshops and classes. And yeah, you know, my performance experience is what eventually led me to brain training.
Wow, that is quite a remarkable story. And I'm so glad that you decided to do this career, because you are helping so many people. I love your content on TikTok and Instagram, because it brightens my day, because you're giving us hope that we can, in fact, change our brains. We can enjoy life. We're living in challenging times right now, and having that sense of hope restored by just watching, you know, a 1 minute video with a tool that we can use, it is a game changer. Let's talk about brain training. What exactly is it? And can you help us understand the importance of it?
Yes. Okay. So brain training is an umbrella term. It's basically just a fancy way of saying a collection of tools that you can use to deliberately change the way that your brain functions. Of course, there are so many ways that we can change our brain, so it depends on what the goal is to determine what tools you're going to use. So it could include things like meditation, visualization, gratitude, hypnosis, self-hypnosis, laughter, yoga, nervous system regulation tools. These are all self-directed tools that can help you be in charge of the changes that are happening in your brain. And this is essential because our brains are constantly changing. Our brains are changing every single day. They are changing, adapting, and growing based on the experiences that we have. And that's a result of a phenomenon called neuroplasticity. And so the work that I do in brain training is about self-directed neuroplasticity, because our brains are changing all the time, but it might not be changing in the way that we want it to. Our brains could be creating connections of stress and overwhelm and fear and insecurity and sadness and things that aren't supportive to us. And so brain training offers practical resources and tools for you to actually create new neural pathways in your brain. You can literally carve new physical connections in your brain to help you feel differently, to help you adopt new thoughts, feelings, behaviors, habits, experiences that you want. And there's so many tools that you can utilize in it. We can chat about some more specific ones if you'd like, but a common phrase that's used in neuroscience that I think really helps people understand this is neurons that fire together, wire together. And that essentially means that when there's two experiences happening at the same time, they become connected physically in the brain. So for example, let's say you go to your first ever audition and it's terrifying and awful and you feel bad, your voice cracks. I don't know. You don't feel good at the end. Your brain is going to start to wire an association between auditions and stress. And the more times you have experiences of auditions alongside stress, the stronger that connection is going to be in the brain. And eventually you're just going to automatically have an association with auditions and stress. Even if you have the best audition you could have ever given, your brain's still going to have that association of, oh, I'm in an audition, so I'm supposed to be stressed right now. So brain training can help you break those associations and redirect the connections that you have so you can connect it with a sense of joy or confidence or creativity or empowerment or whatever it is you want to feel. And the beauty of brain training is that you are in control of those connections that you're creating.
Speaking of auditions, in one of your videos, you talked about how it can be so overwhelming, and you recommend a practice of training your brain in a chaotic environment to kind of desensitize yourself. Can you talk a little bit about how that can help us prepare not only for auditions, but for performance?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of us, when we're nervous in general, we tend to be on high alert. Our nervous systems go into what's called the fight or flight response, which brings us into a different physiological makeup in our bodies that literally causes us to be more likely to become overstimulated because our hearing gets more intense, our vision gets really broad, and we notice more and more details. So if we're nervous in an audition room, we're going to pick up on all of the shuffling papers. We're going to notice all the people who are humming to themselves, and it's going to just be a lot. And it just adds to those nerves. And so what I recommend, it's a little unconventional, but I recommend finding a chaotic environment. I live in New York City, so Times Square is a great example. Go into a chaotic environment and do something that can help you regulate your nervous system. I highly recommend self-hypnosis. I'm also a hypnosis practitioner in addition to my work in brain training. So take some time in Times Square or at a busy park and close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, take 10 long, deep breaths, and maybe visualize being in a beautiful, safe place in nature and imagine all of the details of that place, the sights, sounds, smells, tastes, sensations, emotions of being in this other place. And that's actually going to train your brain to self-regulate even when you're in the midst of chaos, because my brain is processing that I'm actually in that safe place in nature, even though I'm in Times Square. And so that can cause us to sort of turn down the volume on everything that's going on around us and make us more able to separate ourselves and separate our nervous system responses from the chaos that we're facing. And the more you do this, the easier it will be to regulate when you go into your audition room, when you go, you know, backstage, when they call places, or you hear the chatter of the audience. And eventually, because neurons that fire together wire together, your brain's going to start to predict that when you start taking 10 deep breaths, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel more calm, even though there's chaos around you. And it reduces that hyper-reactivity. I've used it myself. I've done some experiments of self-hypnosis in Times Square, and it's a weird experience at first. Make sure you're safe. Make sure you're with someone, especially if you're closing your eyes. But it works. It's really amazing. And you know, if you pick an environment that's more chaotic than an audition room, then by the time you get to the audition, it's going to feel easier to regulate in that place.
That is so helpful. What advice would you give for those of us in the performing arts who are really struggling with completing a task such as practice? I know you covered this executive function. Maybe you can talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So a lot of us resist practice because I think we associate a lot of effort in it. And when our brains predict effort, they resist it because our brains are designed to help us conserve energy and survive. And survival includes not doing things that are super effortful. So it's not about laziness. Laziness doesn't exist. It's just your brain trying to protect you. So what I recommend, especially with practice, is to find a way to infuse joy into it. So again, we're going to say this over and over again, neurons that fire together wire together. So when you create an association of joy with your practice, it becomes effortless. It becomes easier. It becomes less stressful. Another thing that I think is really important to understand as an artist is that when we are stressed, when we're in that fight or flight response, when we're in that chronic stress state, we actually have less access to creativity. The part of our brain that's responsible for creativity gets shut down. And so it can feel like we are just pushing through molasses when we're practicing if we're stressed about it. So finding ways to infuse joy into what we're doing is so essential. And that could look different for every person. I love visualization exercises. So I always recommend taking 2 minutes even before your practice session to close your eyes and visualize what it would be like to practice and have it be the most fun you've ever had. Like, picture yourself laughing through the session. Imagine yourself singing well and having it feel good and having yourself really enjoy it. Remember, you're singing because you love to sing. You're doing this art because you love it. So if you infuse that love into it and remind yourself that that's why you're doing it, it can really change the energy. Because if you love something, you're going to want to do it over and over and over again. And so just finding ways to bring joy into it. And in a more practical sense, start by singing a piece that you love. Sing something that just brings you joy as the first thing that you sing and the very last thing that you sing. And bookend it with something that will fill you up. And that can really create a greater sense of ease with practice. Because when we reduce that effort, I'm not saying don't try. I'm not saying don't do hard things. Don't try hard songs. I don't know. But when we reduce the sense of resistance and effort in it, it can become enjoyable and it can feel easier, even though we're working on stuff that might be challenging.
I love that. You know, I don't think they taught us that at college.
No.
When you go into a practice room, make sure you prioritize joy. You know, I don't think there was any focus on that because there were other things on the agenda, but I think we know better now. And as a society, we've evolved, and this is just a much better approach. If you know that you're going to go into it and have fun in the process, it might not be so daunting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something else that I recommend that people do that I use every time I practice is a little gratitude exercise. So right before you start your practice session or your audition or your performance, whatever it is you're doing, anytime you sing, write down 3 things that you're looking forward to in that session. You might be looking forward to a particular note that you really like to sing. You might be looking forward to a set of lyrics that really resonate with you. You might be looking forward to, I don't know, hearing the accompaniment or something. It doesn't have to necessarily be music related, but 3 things you're looking forward to in that experience. And that's going to start to prime the brain to recognize those good things as they're happening. And so rather than focusing on the note, the one note where you cracked or the part that's really hard, you're really focusing on and enjoying the parts that feel really good. And then on the other side, after you conclude that practice session, write down 3 things that went well. Just 3 things that went well. It could be 3 notes that you sang well, 3 parts that you enjoyed, 3 parts of that experience that actually felt really good for you. And by bookending that experience with something positive, you're less likely to criticize yourself for the things that didn't go so well. You're less likely to leave that practice session feeling crappy. And you're really more likely to celebrate the fact that you showed up for yourself.
In one of your videos, you talk about the inner critic that keeps us from changing our lives. How can we override that, especially for creators and those of us in the performing arts?
The inner critic keeps us from everything that we want, pretty much, right? You know, it's that voice inside our head that is focusing on the things we're doing wrong. And I want to emphasize that every single one of us has an inner critic, even the most confident person in the room has that voice in their head. And that's because the human brain is pre-wired with something called the negativity bias, which means that we are more likely to focus on negative experiences over positive ones. So this is why you are way more likely to focus on the one role that you didn't book over the ones that you did. This is why you're more likely to remember the one note where your voice cracked over the 57 other notes that you sang beautifully. I mean, how many times have you left a performance or an audition thinking, ugh, if I didn't crack on that B flat, it would have been fine. But the rest of the song was beautiful and it felt good. That negativity bias is keeping us from seeing the truth that is there, that there's so many beautiful moments in our life and they pass us by. And this bias used to protect us way back in early human evolution. It used to keep us alive and it was necessary because we had to prioritize avoiding threats and being chased by bears over all of the, you know, flowery meadows that we pass on our walk in the woods. We had to avoid those threats, but our lifestyles have evolved so much faster than our brains. And so now that bias is holding us back. It's keeping us from taking risks that are safe. It's and safe in terms of like a bear is not going to eat us if we go to this audition. That inner critic keeps us from really celebrating ourselves and recognizing the things that we're doing well. So the way that we can combat that, and we can change the brain, is to start really intentionally focusing on the moments where things are going well. So kind of like that little exercise that I just talked about of writing down what went well in your audition, really holding your focused attention on the moments where you feel good about yourself or the moments where things are going your way or where you did something that you're proud of. Even if it's, I made a really good sandwich for lunch and I'm going to pay attention to that because that is a good thing rather than focusing on the fact that you didn't have mayonnaise in the fridge, right? So the more we shift that focused attention on those good things from our experiences, we can start to quiet that inner critic. Because it's going to start to, our brains are going to start to recognize that those good moments are worth noticing. And we're going to start noticing more and more and more of them. And we're going to start to actually enjoy our auditions and enjoy our performances and enjoy our practice sessions. Because rather than thinking about that one note where we cracked, we're going to think about how great it feels to sing all the other notes. We're going to think about how much feeling and emotion we put into it, even though it wasn't necessarily technically perfect, right? And so really allowing yourself to shift the focus can reduce that inner critic and show you that the critic is wrong.
The critic is wrong. That's it. I mean, I think we are so convinced that those thoughts are real, whether it's someone might have said something to us growing up, or whether it's we kind of misinterpreted something. This is a really important step. It's like, no matter how much practice or lessons you do, I think prioritizing this first is a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more we're able to celebrate ourselves and the more we're able to reduce our stress and really enjoy more of our lives on and off stage. This is a practice that can and should be done in your normal life, not just when you're focusing on singing and career stuff. The more we do that, the more access we have to joy and creativity and playfulness. Because, you know, if you're a singer, chances are you're doing it because you like it, right? Hopefully. And so it'll give you access to actually like the thing that you're doing and love the thing that you chose to do with your life because you loved it in the first place. And I think a lot of us lose that love along the way because the criticism and the pressure and the stress just clouds it all.
Become a stronger, more dynamic singer, connecting your voice from the bottom to the top without any breaks. My course, Mix Evolution, will help you to be able to eliminate voice breaks, strengthen high notes, and expand your range. No matter if you're starting to develop your vocal technique, or if you're picking your vocal development back up after a long hiatus, this course will help you build and strengthen your voice and give you exercises you can use for life. Head on over to my website, alitavocalstudio.com, to sign up or to find out more. If you've got questions, you can send me a DM on Instagram at alitavocalstudio. I also offer one-to-one training and coaching. You can set up a discovery call through my website, alitavocalstudio.com. A lot of performers and creatives deal with sleep issues, and that's like the number one thing that you can do for your voice is get a good night's sleep. I noticed that you have a sleep hypnosis on your website.
Yes. So I have a free guided sleep hypnosis that it's designed specifically to help you drift off to sleep easily. And the way that it works is it helps you, it gives you something to focus on, because a lot of us have buzzy thoughts as we are trying to fall asleep. So it gives you something to focus on, and it actually guides you through suggestions and imagery to calm your mind and body so that you can naturally go into a deep sense of sleep. So it's 20 minutes long. There's also a whole library of sleep hypnosis practices that will be on my hypnosis app. So there will be lots to choose from to help you fall asleep more easily. And I swear it's so effective that when I recorded it, I wrote it out, I planned it, I recorded it myself. And then when I listened back to edit, because I have to make sure that it sounds fine, I fell asleep within 3 minutes. So I had to, if that's any
chance. We know it works.
For sure. So I had to listen to it standing up so that I wouldn't fall asleep. But amazing. It's very effective. It's deeply relaxing, and it really helps also to release the stress of the day before you go to bed.
I truly believe getting a good night's sleep is the answer to any voice issues, to most voice issues, you know, especially when it comes to fatigue. So what a great gift that is. So we can find that on your website.
Yes, I will have the link available for you to distribute as well. Yeah.
Fantastic. I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Perfect.
As we head into the holiday season and also into the new year, what steps can we take to help us improve our mood, reduce stress, and increase our access to joy and happiness? I know you've given us a few tips already.
Yeah. So there's one tool that comes to mind. I have so many tools, but there's one tool that comes to mind that I think works across the board with all of these things, with reducing our stress, navigating family drama, navigating holiday stress and New Year's pressures. And that is a tool called mental rehearsal. So as a performer, if you're listening and you're a singer or an actor, you know what rehearsal feels like. This is just the same idea as actors rehearsing a role and rehearsing their characters' thoughts, feelings, and behaviors over and over again until it becomes inevitable by the time they get on stage. Mental rehearsal is about using your mind and visualization to rehearse a future situation going well. And the more you mentally rehearse a situation going well, the more inevitable it becomes for you to feel good in that moment. So let's say you are nervous about a family gathering for the holidays. It's a pretty common one, I think. In the days leading up to that event or that party, take 5 minutes or so, close your eyes, take a few deep breaths. That's really essential to calm the nervous system. And then visualize what it would be like to actually enjoy that event. Imagine yourself walking in, feeling joyful, laughing with people, feeling surprised at how stress-free it feels to go through that experience. Imagine yourself feeling calm, even though, you know, your crazy uncle says something offensive. Imagine yourself, right? Imagine it going well. Imagine yourself handling it well. And feeling even surprised at how much fun you're having with it. Again, infusing that playfulness into it. And the more you do this, the more your brain is going to wire together a new experience, a new association with that event. So rather than predicting fear and stress, your brain is going to say, oh, we've done this before and it was fun the last time we did it. And so of course, it's going to be easy and fun this time because the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So if we're visualizing a successful day, you know, having at this holiday party or something, then our brains are perceiving that we are having fun at a holiday party. It doesn't know that you're sitting on your couch or in your bed. It thinks that you're there. And so it's going to make it easier and easier for you to actually enjoy it by the time you get there. So that's an example of how you could use it. A more ongoing practice that you can use, especially moving through the next few months, is visualizing tomorrow going well. So whatever you have going on tomorrow, whether it's an audition or work or a day off or a family event or, I don't know, what people do in their lives. But in the evenings before going to bed, take some time to visualize yourself waking up feeling good, feeling shocked at how much energy you have. Imagine yourself dancing through your morning routine. And the more you infuse that sense of playfulness, I like to picture like an obnoxious enthusiasm of a Disney princess kind of energy in my visualizations. I imagine myself singing and dancing while I'm sweeping the floors and cleaning the litter box and enjoying all of my tasks and chores. And then I picture going through the tasks of the day, feeling good. And actually taking in the good experiences that normally pass me by. I imagine myself laughing more and smiling more and feeling more grateful for the little good things that I do have in my days. And if there is something hard or stressful in the day, I picture myself handling it and feeling okay. This isn't about pretending like we don't have challenges, because we do. It's just about showing your brain that you're capable of it. And this practice is life-changing. It's one of my favorite exercises, and I recommend that everyone does it. Even if you spend 3 minutes visualizing tomorrow, it's going to change your life. I started waking up naturally before my alarms when I started doing this practice. I woke up with more energy. I started really just feeling more okay and more joyful in my life. And so I think that's a really great way to navigate the immediate things that are happening in our lives, the immediate stressors of tomorrow, and making them a little bit easier. And because the brain learns from imagined experiences in the same way as real ones, the more you do this, the more your brain's going to start to predict that tomorrow is going to be a good day. And so it's going to be less stressful. It's going to be easier to go to sleep because you're not worried about tomorrow, and you're going to start to feel better. It's pretty life-changing.
Would you be able to give us a little bit of an example or one takeaway of maybe a brain training tool that we could use, that listeners of the podcast can use today? Oh. On your TikTok and Instagram, there's lots of different tips, and we'll get to what your handles are. But, you know, maybe today you can leave us with something that we can do as homework.
Sure. So there's a couple of different options. I could guide us through like a mini hypnosis, if people are open to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're open to that.
I'm open to that. Absolutely.
You're open to that. I just would recommend, if you're listening while driving, please do not listen to this portion. It creates a deep sense of relaxation, and we want you to be alert and awake and energized while you are driving. So this is a practice that should be done when you are able to close your eyes and relax. So wherever that is for you. Very cool. Okay. So to begin, I'm going to just count to three. Mm-hmm. On one, you'll look all the way up to the ceiling with your eyes. On two, you'll take a deep breath in. And then on three, you'll close those eyes and release that breath. So getting ready now. One, looking all the way up. Two, take a deep breath in. And three, closing those eyes and releasing that breath. Good. Already settling in. Already noticing a deeper sense of comfort. And continuing to breathe deeply on your own. You might start to notice a wonderful sensation, a wave of calmness moving through the body, starting at the top of the head. Relaxing the muscles in the face, dropping the jaw. This wave of calmness soothing the neck and shoulders. Relaxing the arms and hands and fingertips. Soothing the chest and upper back, really warming the heart space. Relaxing the belly and low back. Good, soothing the legs and the feet and all the way to the tips of the toes. And taking another long, deep breath in. And gently release that with a sigh out your mouth. Good, going deeper now. And as you continue to relax more and more, you may find your mind wandering to memories and thoughts and ideas, and that's okay. As the mind wanders, you may find your subconscious mind bringing you back to a moment in your past that brought you a sense of joy, a moment that made you smile or laugh. It could have been something from childhood or something that happened recently. I don't know what that is for you, but you'll know. Just a little moment of joy. And as your mind brings you back to this moment, it starts to materialize around you as though you are there now, reliving this wonderful moment of joy. And it's so much more vivid than it's ever been before. You might start to notice some of the things that you see. You might notice the sounds that you hear. You may begin to notice some of the sensations in the body. You might even find yourself smiling or laughing at how good it feels to relive this moment. And as you focus on this joyful experience, you might notice that sense of joy in the body. Notice where it's located, what qualities it has. And as you focus on it, you might imagine it as a ball of warm light within the body. Give it a color. And as you focus on this feeling of joy, it begins to grow and expand, filling the entire body now, almost as though you're turning up the volume on this wonderful feeling, helping you to feel so good, so full of this joy now. Breathe that in with a long, deep breath. Good, and let that go. And holding on to this joy, you might imagine what it would feel like to move through the rest of your day feeling this good, moving through the tasks of the day, feeling this joyful, this calm, imagining yourself really taking in the positive moments that normally pass you by, imagining yourself handling challenges with ease and calm strength, feeling so good for the rest of the day. And in a few moments, you'll be opening those eyes. You'll be feeling so energized, so relaxed, so joyful, just as though you took a cozy nap. And the rest of the day might take on a sort of rosy glow as you hold on to this experience. And you'll be feeling so good until the moment that you curl up to sleep. Now, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And as I do, you'll find yourself effortlessly bringing yourself back to this moment with full alertness and wakefulness. Getting ready now. 1, starting to come back. 2, lots of energy rushing back into the body. 3, wiggling the fingers and toes. 4, big smile on your face. And 5, opening those eyes and returning to this day.
Wow. That was amazing. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Welcome back.
I'm back. Thank you so much. That was allowing us to access something that we probably don't take the time to access.
Yeah.
You know?
And the amazing thing about this practice is that you can do it on your own. So of course you can always return to this episode and listen to it, but this is a practice that you can return to yourself. So just finding a quiet place, closing your eyes, taking some deep breaths, relaxing the body. That's all we did. We just relaxed the top of the head all the way to the tips of the toes, and then visualize a happy memory and just access that joy. And the brain doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality. So by accessing that again, you're bringing up that very real feeling of joy, and then it's accessible to you for the rest of the day.
What a gift you gave us today. Like, Emily, where can people find you?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram at Emily Lies. So EmilieLeyes. You can also find me on TikTok, which is at EmilyLies.hypnosis. You can find all of my resources at EmilyLies.com. And I'm also getting ready to launch a brand new hypnosis app called Dottle, which I will be posting all about on my Instagram. So make sure you're following me there. But Dottle will have tons and tons, over 100 full-length hypnosis sessions for so many areas of your life. There's also a whole library of, I think, 40 to 50 mini practices that I call mood shifters, which are kind of like what we just did. These are sessions that are 5 minutes or less that are designed to get you out of a stress response fast and feel better really, really quickly. So that's great right before going into an audition, right before going on stage, or even at like intermission, if you want to just turn on a 3 minute practice to reset your system. Those are really great for that. So Dottl will have tons of resources for all the stuff that we talked about today. And I'm also planning, it's not out yet, but I'm planning to eventually introduce an acting and performance-based library in Dottl of hypnosis sessions specifically for performers, singers, actors, dancers, artists, to increase access to creativity, to reduce stress in the work, to reduce performance anxiety and audition anxiety, to get in and out of character more easily, to get into flow states more easily, to, there'll also be walking hypnosis sessions. So you can listen to something as you're walking to your auditions. So stay tuned for that. The app is spelled Doddle, Dottl. And that will be coming out very soon. But if you follow me on Instagram, you'll find all of these announcements. That's really the hub of everything.
Emily, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. It was wonderful to have you, and I hope to have you back on. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you for having me.